Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Zach Moss, the tailback, the snap. Josh Keith without play action, fires to the end zone. You called it, Eric. Touchdown, Buffalo. The pass to rookie Tommy Doyle, the big man, touchdown. Touchdown, Bills. They are pouring it on now.
Bills and Patriots coming your way tomorrow night.
That's right. Tommy Doyle scored a touchdown in that game.
That's right. I've always tried to commit to memory how it happened. Like, Knox, Singletary, or was like no. Knox, Singletary.
I think it goes Knox, Singletary, Davis,
Knox,
Sanders,
Doyle.
I think I'm
so mad. I had it at one point. I lost it. We should all have that.
We should.
Joe Marino on the Wester Hotline of the Draft Network and Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Wednesday to you.
Big one tomorrow, Joe. Big one. You know, Bills get a stretch of three straight division games. They're getting healthier, which is obviously very good news. Some very big injuries when it comes to Von Miller and Deion Dawkins. But a game against the Patriots, that, you know, it's not a have to have it for the playoffs, but it might be a have to have it for the division, because they are in a race here with maybe even four teams in this AFC East, which has turned into a pretty strong division.
Yeah, for all the talk about the AFC West and how competitive that was going to be before the season, it looks like the AFC East is that division. Everyone's above 500. The Patriots at 6-5, and they're in last place. They'd be in second place in the AFC West right now if that were their record over there. And look, I mean, we all know it. The Bills are 0-2 right now in AFC East games. Meanwhile, the other three teams in the division already have won two division games themselves, and so they're behind the eight ball. When it comes to division games, and they have their opportunity, the next three, four, the last six in the division, we're going to find out some things here over this final stretch of the year.
What do you make of the Patriots overall? Their defense has some pretty good numbers. Their offense doesn't really have that much going for it. But the last game they played against Minnesota, we watched them be very competitive, and Mac Jones had his best game of the season, probably. So looking at the big picture of New England, what kind of threat do they pose? What kind of team do they have this year?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because the book on New England has been really good defense this year. I mean, they're top 10 in literally every category and bad offense. But then the offense really kind of woke up against Minnesota, who we know is a very poor defense as well. But if nothing else, you have to feel like that offensive unit, and especially Mac Jones, is going to have a lot of confidence coming off of a performance like that and going back to their home stadium in a game where they need to have it. So I think the interesting statistic here that I'm kind of settling in on as we approach the kickoff is that the Patriots are 6-0 this season when they give up less than 20 points. They're 0-5 when they give up more than 20 points. For Mac Jones's career, they're 0-8. The Patriots are 0-8 when they give up more than 25 points. And so for as good as Mac played against Minnesota, any time that the Patriots script to win football games has put stress on Mac to kind of be the catalyst and score points, they've not been able to do it. And so for as good as the Patriots defense has been, you know, Minnesota was able to have a lot of success against them on Thursday as well. So this really kind of comes back to the Bills on offense, and if they can, you know, I know that statistically they've been very good, even since Josh Allen's injury, and even with all the turnovers, they score a lot of points. They they get a lot of yards. It has to happen this week to put that stress right back on Mac Jones and the Patriots to keep pace. And if you can do that, if you can force the Patriots to score points, even coming off of a good performance, the last 2 years has told us that that's not a good recipe for them.
Their run game has been kind of their identity offensively, right, for a couple years here since Tom Brady. No Damian Harris on Thursday. Is that still the threat of their offense, and is it a good unit?
Well, I'll tell you, Ramondre Stevenson is the story of that running back situation. Not only is he leading their team in rushing over 3.5 yards after contact per rush. I mean, we know he's a big 230-pound back with pretty good explosiveness for that size, but he's also leading the team in receptions. I mean, this offense runs through Ramondre Stevenson, and so, you know, Damian Harris is a good number two back for them. He's certainly a meaningful player and has been a meaningful player, but as long as they have Stevenson, I think that rushing attack is going to be still quite potent. Now, one thing about the Bills is it feels like any time that they really want to stop the run, they can do it. And so I think that'll be a concerted effort by them, and certainly having Milano and Edmonds back healthy this week is going to be a big deal for their pass coverage, especially in the middle of the field. So if you can commit to stopping the run and force Mac Jones to kind of work the football outside the numbers and outside the hashes, which is a little bit different than it's been in recent weeks against the Bills, where no Tremaine Edmonds in the middle of the field. You've seen a lot of completions to the middle of the field. I think there's some good dynamics here for the Bills to be able to have a strong showing on defense. But, you know, Stevenson is the guy that you have to focus in on, because this offense runs through them. Even with Damian Harris in the lineup, he's kind of doubled up the touches this year. And we know the Patriots like to use a running back by committee, but this is as true of a lead back as we've seen in New England for a long time in Ramondre Stevenson.
When it comes to Mac Jones trying to find advantages on the outside, like you said, how are the Bills' defensive backs matching up against these Patriots receivers? I mean, it's not exactly murderer's row. They'll face tougher receivers. But the defensive backs this year, Joe, it's not been as consistent as years past in the Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier defense. That's because of the injury to Trey White. It's because they don't have the veterans in that secondary like they normally do. And, of course, Micah Hyde's not available. So when you look at the matchup of Patriots' weapons against Bills' defensive backs, how do you like that matchup for the Bills?
I think the Bills should match up pretty well. You don't look at this Patriots receiving core and look at any of the receivers and say, wow, that's a really dynamic player that's going to be a real nightmare for the Bills to deal with. Now, I think where they maybe have an advantage for New England, not necessarily against the Bills, but against any team, is because they do throw the football to so many different guys. You know, it's not like there's just, okay, they throw the ball to Justin Jefferson, right? It's not that. They throw the ball to Myers and Devontae Parker and Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne and two different tight ends. And, of course, Ramondre Stevenson leads the team in receptions. And so I think that's kind of where the stress comes, is just Mac Jones, I guess, lack of a true go-to target leads to him spreading the football around quite a bit. And one thing that I think gives me a level of concern is just I think their top two guys at receiver and Jacoby Myers and Devontae Parker, they're pretty good at winning the ball in the air. You know, they've got a contested catch rate this season combined of 62%. And that's really good against the Bills defense that I think we've all recognized in recent weeks that they don't win the ball in the air with consistency. And maybe that changes with, you know, Trey White being healthy and Kyer Elam, certainly a player that has really good ball skills. It's kind of been banged up and, you know, maybe that changes, but you know, Mac Jones is willing to test leveraged receivers. He's willing to kind of fit it into some windows. And so I think that skill of contested catchability for the Patriots receivers against the Bills defense that hasn't had much success there in recent weeks is going to be something I'm keeping an eye on.
Jacoby Myers, a player that Joe DiBiase here, you've talked about him as a Bills option going forward, because, and those numbers on contested catches, you know, that might be something the Bills would be looking for.
Yeah. He's a good player. Do the tight ends still, like, where are we at with them? Jonnu Smith is still irrelevant, right? And Hunter Henry is worth keeping an eye on, but probably not breaking the game open himself.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably a fair way to look at it. Henry's been a little bit more quiet than he was last year, but still a really solid player that is really a do-everything player in terms of receiving skill set. And Jonnu Smith will get his chances and, you know, kind of flat routes and just leaking out, and they'll tap into his athleticism and try to get him going after the catch, but certainly not the type of receiving production you would expect for a $12 million a year player. Here's what this game comes down to for the Bills, is they have to be able to rush the passer and really affect Mac Jones. Mac Jones this season has been just about the worst quarterback in the league when facing pressure. He's dead last in passer rating, 27.6 Mac Jones's passer rating when he's under pressure. That is last, and that's including 38 different quarterbacks that have at least 120 dropbacks this year. I mean, he's really struggled. And I know that there could be a level of concern with the Bills not having Von Miller in this game, but I think where the silver lining is for a lot of teams, blitzing them is a bad idea because quarterbacks are able to, you know, really take advantage of you know, to setting the extra players and enjoying more space to fit the football. Mac Jones struggles against the blitz. He's dead last in passer rating this season when he's blitzed. 56.3 is that passer rating. He's second last when it comes to completion percentage with the blitz at 54%. And so I think this is a game for Leslie Frazier to really be in his bag with how he generates some pressure, and that includes using second-level defenders to attack the pocket and really being creative with how you rush and attack Mac Jones. Because, look, the numbers have told us this year, Mac Jones, when he's pressured and when he's blitzed, you know, the wheels really fall off. Now, if you don't, Mac Jones is a perfectly good quarterback that will find completions. When you don't get pressure on him, he's got the number two completion percentage in the league. When he's kept clean, he's top 10 in passer rating. So, really, this game for the Bills on defense comes down to, obviously, Ramondre Stevenson and being able to contain him the best that you can, but also you've got to apply heat on Mac Jones, and if you do, he crumbles.
Joe, as we look back on New England last season and kind of turn the page to the Bills' offense for a second here, Isaiah McKenzie goes off in Foxborough, and then even in the playoff game, he ends up with 74 yards. Three of those were carries, or three touches were carries for 29 yards. That was a part of it, but is there something schematically New England does different? We hear a lot about how much man coverage they run that maybe presents McKenzie having a bigger game this week than he's had so far this season.
Well, I think you kind of hit on it there. Sometimes the Patriots will be really married up to their man coverage principles, and that's where Isaiah McKenzie can really feast. If your production holds up, you know, him on those over routes and being able to use his athleticism to kind of run away from guys is really where he can cause some problems. You saw that against the Lions in the Bills' last game. And so in the game where McKenzie could be really important, I think it's good that he's coming off of what he had over 100 yards from scrimmage against the Lions, and hopefully that carries over this week against New England. But obviously, for me, when I look at this Bills' offense against the Patriots, it really does come down to their ability to pass protect. And the Patriots, you know, Matthew Judon's leading the league in sacks right now, but it's not just that. It's the Patriots as a team. They're number two in sack rate. They're number two in pressure rate. They've been affecting quarterbacks all year long, and you're talking about a Bills offense that, you know, I don't think they're going to have Deion Dawkins in this game. And so now you're looking at this situation where it's really coming into we're going to be relying upon David Questenberry at left tackle and Spencer Brown, who's been very up and down at right tackle, to be able to hold up against a really good trio of pass rushers in Matthew Judon and Dietrich Wise and even Josh Uche, who's been an impactful player for them this year. And so I think what the Bills have to do to counter that is space the field and use all their eligibles and, you know, maybe tap into the screen game a little bit, tap into the draw game a little bit. But it really comes down, for me, both sides of the line here when it comes to rushing the passer and protecting the passer for both teams is going to be paramount on Thursday night.
You say the screen game, I'm thinking, I first think James Cook and Nyheim Hines, but then it flashes in my mind the tunnel screens they used to run for John Brown a lot, this offense, and not expecting that necessarily this week, but to the John Brown idea, Joe, how do you like it as a depth move? What kind of expectation might anybody have for John Brown? That includes, you know, the Bills themselves for a guy that's been basically been out of the league.
I certainly perked up whenever they signed him. It felt interesting to me. First of all, the Bills have, what, four active receivers on the roster? They needed some bodies here. And I think at this point in the season, being able to find a player that has been in your building for a number of years, that has familiarity with your quarterback, had 1,000 yards with Josh Allen, right? It seems like to onboard him and acclimate him, it feels like you're way ahead of the curve as opposed to, you know, pulling in a street free agent or acquiring a receiver that hasn't had that familiarity. And I think that helps the Bills quite a bit. Now, I think there comes with a dose of reality that since John Brown's left the Bills, he's basically just bounced around on different practice squads for teams that have needed receiver help. And you kind of wonder, like, well, why couldn't John Brown help them? What's left in the tank? Well, I guess if there's any room for optimism, it comes from just players. We've seen it with the likes of Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson, where hey, they really are the best version of themselves in Buffalo, and maybe that'll happen for John Brown. You know, I don't know that he comes in and commands a ton of market share, but in situations like Thursday, and I don't know if John Brown's ready to go or not, but in my mind, in terms of how I would want to attack this Patriots defense, which does include making it a space game and really going empty quite a bit and stressing them to make some choices and for Josh Allen to be able to play the matchups and just get the ball out of his hands, you know, John Brown feels like a guy that even in 10, 12 snaps can help you accomplish some of those goals.
Joe Marino of the Draft Network and the Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, Friday, Odell Beckham in for a visit. He's doing the Giants Thursday. Beckham comes to the Bills on Friday. Cowboys are also in this mix as well. I think they already have a visit, or is there another one scheduled? Anyway, the question is, Beckham, let's hypothetically, Beckham signs here. Is it a nod? Is it a fist pound? Is it a double arms in the air? You know, what level of interest are we at right now? And I know you often tell us to couch expectations for a guy coming back from injury, but given the conversation we just had about John Brown, about receiver, only four active on the roster, how are you feeling right now about Beckham if the Bills do land him?
Well, I think you hope he can help the offense. And really, you know, I was asked the question this week for Locked On Bills about route running for the Bills wide receivers. And I don't think that's a strength of the team right now. I think it has been in the past when the Bills had Diggs to go with Beasley, to go with Sanders, to go with John Brown, like those types of players. The Bills always had two or three really good route runners. Right now, I don't think they have more than one, Stephon Diggs. I've never been very complimentary of Gabe Davis or Isaiah McKenzie's route running ability. And so as I think I'm sure you guys have gotten questions this week about why are all these other teams being able to scheme open these receivers and the Bills can't. Everything seems to be a hard completion. Well, I think it goes back to the route running. I think the Bills only have one really dynamic route runner in Stephon Diggs. And so what Odell Beckham Jr. should be able to come in and do is, well, first of all, obviously command some attention, assuming he can come in and acclimate and all the stuff that you've heard me have some level of concern about. But, you know, Odell Beckham's one of those guys that is a separation specialist. And so you want to see guys get open. Well, you got to get route runners and guys that can separate. That's something that Odell Beckham has proven to be able to do throughout his career. And so I think that's where my optimism would come, is that he gives you another route runner to go with Diggs that can really dictate terms and create space, where I don't think that's really the strength of the other three receivers that they have on the roster currently.
Joe Marino of the Draft Network. One more before we let you go. We're talking Bills Patriots, and we'll have time to dig into the Dolphins a little bit, but I wonder how you feel about the Dolphins. And, you know, Joe DiBiase across from me is, you know, not quite buying them yet. And I think there's reason to wonder if how real they are. You talk about scheming receivers open. Everything you just laid out was kind of like what the Dolphins really do, right? They've got separators and they scheme open very well. How much are you buying the Dolphins as a legitimate contender in the AFC?
Well, Joe, you certainly got my head spinning yesterday afternoon when you were putting out those tweets about the scoring and DVOA, and mm-hmm. I certainly perked up and I was like, okay, I hear you. That speaks to me a little bit. I think the Dolphins present a real challenge. You know, I think they have a unique offense that there's no book on it yet, right? I'm sure there's they'll hit some bumps in the road, and it'll be on them to adjust and on other opponents to replicate, right? You'll see that happen at some point. And they're going up against a good 49ers defense here. I'm pretty sure this week, so that, you know, maybe they can put the book out there. But I think it's just this combination of unbelievable speed and a quarterback in Tua that, say what you want about him, what he is very good at is mechanically and with his release, it's all very, very quick. He's very twitchy. He's a very good ball handler. And so his ability to get into his drops, do execute a ball fake, and get the ball out of his hands is unbelievably quick, combined with receivers that can, with real crazy acceleration, get to their spots. And so they can just play at this speed, not necessarily like play after play, the timing between plays, but within the down, how quickly they can get to their spots. And it doesn't give you a whole lot of time as a defense to react or slow play anything, right? One of the principles a lot of times in second-level defense is you play slow until you know. Well, the Dolphins don't give you that opportunity, so you have to be on it. And that probably requires you to be willing to play some press coverage against receivers that if you don't jam them, they will get behind you. There's just a lot there that presents challenges and puts stress on a defense. And so I think that makes them a tough out. Now, I don't think they're a team that has been battle-tested. I don't think defensively they're very sound, especially with their ability to defend the pass. They haven't proven able to run the football, which I think is a major concern for them if they can't play home games and have to go to Kansas City or to Tennessee or to Baltimore, to Buffalo, anything like that. That's going to be a bump in the road for them. So there's some dynamics there that I think that they have questions that they have to answer. But, you know, if this passing attack can continue the production that it's had in recent weeks, and albeit against bad defenses, you know, they present a real challenge. And look, they had lost with Tua as their starting quarterback in games that he's finished. So, you know, I think the onus is on other teams to figure it out at this point.
And big test this week, San Francisco, whose defense is playing as well as anybody's.
Yep. They're fifth, I think, in DVOA this week. If I could sneak one draft question in here, Joe, we were looking at the draft order the other day and how many teams that have traded away first-round picks that are going to be high. The Rams gave it to the Lions, and the Seahawks have the Broncos pick, and Houston's got one from somebody that's escaping me, Cleveland. We heard about the quarterback class before the year. Now that much of the film is on tape, is still tracking towards that this is a really good quarterback class upcoming, and that these teams that might need a quarterback finding themselves in the top five, top ten, like this is the year to have those picks?
I'll tell you what, I think this is a reasonably good quarterback class, but I don't think there's a guy that you say, wow, that's a surefire player. And so I think a lot of this is going to be situation dependent, the way that I perceive the quarterbacks, like what teams are they going to be on? Because I don't think there's a transcendent talent. And I don't think we've gained much clarity on any of the top guys, whether it's Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. I think those are the guys that you look at as potential first-rounders. And I didn't get any questions answered this year. And that's kind of concerning to me about any one of those four. And so I think it comes with a level of caution. I mean, there's certainly some interest that I have in all four of those guys. But, you know, I don't know that there's one. I think you could ask a lot of different people and you can get a lot of different answers in terms of how they're stacked up. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time with these quarterbacks, and I don't have any convictions right now in my order. So there'll be guys that go early, but I don't think we gained enough clarity this year like I was hoping to.
We're out of time. I'll save it for a couple months from now. We're going to talk a lot about this receiver class, I hope, Joe.
Well, I'll be ready for it.
All right. Were you texting me about Marvin Harrison Jr. the other day?
You know, whatever. Yeah,
there's questions.
You know, there's plenty of guys to talk about out there. Thanks, Joe. Enjoy tomorrow night. Enjoy the game. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Joe Marino of the Draft Network and the Locked On Bills podcast. And he also has a book, Go Bills. You can find that about the history of the Buffalo Bills. I should have let him do this. I'm sorry, Joe. We'll do it next week as well. But subscribe to the podcast, the Draft Network. Joe kills it. Love our segments with Joe every week. When we get back, we've got Better to Forget It. And got some Dolphins chatter in there. I got a
sure.
Dolphins question for you. There's to back up what Joe Marino right there was saying about how they play fast. There's a couple of stats on Tua that he leads the league in average depth of target on throws in less than 2 seconds. Mainly, kind of like they're a fast break team.
Yeah.
Snap, balls out. And if other teams do that, it's not going as far as it is for
right.
Miami. They can throw farther, faster than anybody. And that's like that vertical game that they've got that's so challenging. They play San Francisco this week, and that is a big game and a tough test. And it's Joe's Fraud Bowl.
Fraud Bowl. There.
Fraud Bowl. 803-0550, Better to Forget on the other side. Chris Price, Boston Globe, 9 o'clock on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We got better to forget it in a moment here. First, I want to play a clip from Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, about Tua Tagovailoa.
Getting beat up and having your existence be completely tainted by people saying that you aren't X, Y, or Z. And then on top of that, from my vantage point, I felt like he was put behind the eight ball in a way with his strengths. He couldn't play to. If you're not able to play to your strengths and in your position that you've, one of the reasons you've gotten there is you're an unbelievable point guard. I felt, how could he with all the things going on and all the, it's a lot of loud noise that you try to ignore, but people are human.
Good stuff about
Tua,
how, you know, there's the confidence, there's he heard too much and he was told he was terrible. But the biggest thing in there was, to me, Mike McDaniel has accurately identified that Tua Tagovailoa has a certain skill set that can be exploited, maybe not what I'm looking for, that can be capitalized on.
Yeah.
You can tailor an offense to him and weapons to him, and he just is your point guard, and it is working very well for Miami. They are one of the more efficient offenses in the league. The difference between the Bills and the Dolphins might be red zone. I mean, in the red zone, the Dolphins are very good.
Yeah.
The Bills have struggled. But I just think the Miami story is a good one, and it's not great news for the Bills, but it's a very good story, and we're now heading to December, and things are going very well for them with a big, big stretch and big tests coming up.
Yeah, the coach is super likable. Right, like him even talking about making reference to what was here before with Tua. I mean, I do think they made mistakes in the first 2 years. Everything maybe they did was a mistake in how they operated with Tua. When do you see a team draft a quarterback in the top five and it almost looks as though they're not committed to him from the moment he steps on the field? Because that's how it appeared. It was every chance they can get him out of the game they took.
Yeah, it was almost like the coach didn't want it to happen.
Right.
The GM drafted a quarterback and the coach didn't want one.
But the organization too, like, this is not to take credit away from McDaniel because he wasn't a part of this. The organization almost kind of lucked into this, right? They tried at every turn to do something else. They tried Deshaun Watson. They tried to get, the owner flew in to meet with him and tried to get him to settle his lawsuits last year at the trade deadline because they wanted Deshaun Watson. And maybe if Brian Flores never files a lawsuit, Tom Brady is currently their quarterback. And even though I'm still not believing all the way what they're doing until I see it against a top defense, they've found themselves in the best possible situation because they ended up on Tua, who is young and it should be, and it's on a rookie contract, by the way, where they very easily could have been at Deshaun Watson, which has its moral apprehensions, or they could have been on 45-year-old Tom Brady if circumstances that were kind of outside of their control didn't end up happening.
Yeah.
They kind of fell into Tua.
Well, everybody that doesn't take a quarterback number one kind of falls into it. I mean, the Bills on some level fall into Josh Allen. They do trade up for him.
Yeah.
But they needed Denver not to take him.
Yeah.
You know,
but once he's here,
sure,
the
sure.
Bills do everything in their power to make sure he's going to get to where they want him.
Yep.
And maybe the most impressive thing about Tua is he might be arriving at where the Dolphins wanted him to be, and they almost worked against him for the first 2 years of his development, rather than what the Bills did, which was the moment he's here, everything is tailored towards him, his skill set, make sure it works. The Dolphins are getting there, but it's after 3 years, and it's because they seemingly have found the right head coach. Even though I'm not 100% sold on Tua yet, and the Dolphins as a whole, I'm pretty close to all the way there on Mike McDaniel. As like he is a darn good coach, and he understands what works in today's NFL.
Let's get to that in Better to Forget It. Better to Forget It is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WGR. All right, Joe, so like, I'll give you a bet here on Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
There was a report that he might be a one-and-done coach because they wanted Sean Payton so bad.
Right.
Better to Forget It, that ship has sailed. McDaniel is safe.
Bet it.
It's got to be.
What would have to happen?
Their offense.
Right, like, I mean... I don't want to rule out that there's a scenario out there. Like, what if they lost the next three? It's all losable games.
True.
I don't think they'll lose all three. But if they lost all three and they fall to 8-6, now they're flirting with playoffs. Like, they probably, though, would have to miss the playoffs, which is very unlikely for this to be a conversation.
And I think it matters how you lose. If they lose to San Francisco and the score is 35-31.
Sure.
And the Chargers, it's 37-35. If the offense is still humming and the defense is not fully formed, I mean, that's kind of what Miami is right now. They made some moves to try and get help on the defensive side of the ball. They have some injuries there. They have all year long. But to me, if their offense keeps humming, which I do expect that it will, then, you know, I think he's a coach of the year candidate. I just think he's super impressive. And now the division, well, it used to be Belichick and a bunch of schlubs.
Yeah, I know.
And now
it's everyone but Belichick, maybe.
You might have four good coaches. I mean, I still think Bill Belichick's probably a good coach. But, man, these coaches are looking pretty good for this division.
We can all celebrate on some level that here's the Patriots in last place and that everyone else has figured it out after 20 years of just the Patriots dunking on them. But
I mean, do the Patriots feel bad about last place at 6-5?
Maybe not.
And they beat the Jets twice, right?
Yeah, they beat the Dolphins. No, they lost the Dolphins.
They lost the Dolphins.
On the other hand, what the hell? It's finally our time to shine, and everybody gets good.
I know.
The Jets get good. Like what, the Jets, you couldn't have got good at any point during the Patriots run. The Dolphins, you couldn't have got good at any point during the Patriots run. The Bills get good, and now you're going to start figuring it out? Bet it or forget it. Here's a stat. Never in NFL history have all four teams in a single division made the playoffs. Will all four teams in a division this year make the playoffs?
Important note, asterisk, the reason it's never happened is because there used to be six playoff teams, not seven.
Correct.
So it's very difficult for that to happen otherwise.
That's correct.
I do not think it will happen. I don't think New England's going to make the playoffs. The Jets...
And your other division here that you could flirt with on this is the NFC East.
I don't think that's going to happen either.
Washington is 7-5, I think, is their record.
The Patriots have two with the Bills, one with the Bengals, one with the Dolphins. And then outside of that, it's Patriots, Cardinals, and Patriots, Raiders. So the Patriots could look at 2-4.
Okay.
That's 8-9. I guess, you know, they could go 3-3 there.
One more better to forget it. The current top four will be the four teams in the college football playoff.
I'd like to ask, can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Which is the most chaotic loss in the top four? Georgia? Maybe.
Georgia's probably in regardless, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Michigan is the most chaotic loss in the top four, right?
They play Purdue.
If
they lose to Purdue?
Right. If Michigan were to falter and lose,
and
Purdue is your Big Ten champ, and Michigan and Ohio State each have one loss, And then they yell at each other for the next 24 hours about which loss is a better loss.
And
Ohio State says, we have a better loss. We lost to you.
Yeah. And then while they argue it out, Bama sneaks in from behind and gets into the fourth spot because they have two close losses. And Purdue, I mean, that's going to hurt both of their resumes, right? It'll even hurt Ohio State's resume a little bit.
Yeah.
So
just don't lose.
I think it's Purdue. Because, right, USC loses and that's easy, right? They're out and Ohio State's in.
Probably.
And if TCU loses, that same thing.
Yep.
Easy, TCU's out and Ohio State's in.
Yep.
Yeah, Purdue wins. What do they do? It's got to be Michigan, right? Michigan beat Ohio State. But I don't know that. I don't know if they're
going to. I'm going to say, you're asking me better to forget it. Ohio State gets in the playoff. I always will bet that because they will always do everything they can to put them in.
Well, that's why I bet Alabama to win the national championship.
Because you thought they'd just get in?
They're just somehow going to get in. They're going to let them in somehow.
Yeah.
Because in essence, it is written somewhere, the idea of the committee is to get the four best teams in there. And if they get chaos, some people in that committee are going to go, well, Bama's one of the best four teams in the country. So we're putting them in.
Yep.
In your college football playoff system, Purdue in that situation would get into the college football playoff, right?
No, they don't have to get in. It would just mean the other teams can't.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it wouldn't mean an automatic berth, but you can't get in unless you win your conference.
It would be...
But what if they're all upsets in conference championships?
Tough.
Okay.
You didn't win your conference, you're not going to the playoff. That's right. How I would do it. But
you don't get to win the national championship
if you
don't have your conference championship.
That is correct. That's how we're going to do it.
Okay.
In my college football world. Instead, it's going to, expanded playoff, which will be fun, too. That's fine. All right, 803-0550. Chris Price, Boston Globe, joins us top of the hour as we gear up for Patriots Week. Bills, Patriots. We should also, of course, get to our most famous Patriots fans conversation.
Yes.
We got to place a bet on who's going to be at the game Thursday night. So we'll get to our weekly rundown of famous fans coming up here on WGR. So when it comes to famous Patriots fans, as we try to, Joe and I try to get a bet who's going to be at the game on Thursday, tomorrow, against the Patriots, Bills and Patriots, Amazon Prime. It is on Channel 7 locally, so you can do that. You can also, if you're out of market and you don't have Amazon Prime, you can download Twitch and watch it there. So why are we playing Elton John? Elton John is a Patriots fan.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but he tours still, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's not going to be at the game.
Okay.
He is friends with the owner, friends with Robert Kraft. I think he has done private concerts for Kraft's birthday. And yeah. And in 2009, when the Patriots played in London against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Elton John was made an honorary team captain.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah, so Elton John, Patriots fan.
Okay.
Other Patriots fans. Here we go. I've got an article here. It says Mark Wahlberg, Ben Affleck, of course. Giselle, I don't know if that one still applies.
Ooh.
Or actually,
oh,
maybe,
no, wait, no,
maybe
wait.
It does.
It might now.
Maybe it does. Maybe it does.
That would be what, like plus 50,000?
Oh, to who's going to be at the game?
Giselle to be at the Patriots game.
Paul Pierce. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith.
Okay.
He's performed the anthem at a couple Patriots games and at the AFC Championship game.
I've got Conan O'Brien on the list I'm looking at.
Chris Evans of, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Evans.
Bon Jovi is friends with Belichick.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Bon Jovi at the Patriots game, the Bills-Patriots game.
Jim from The Office, John Krasinski. John Cena of WWE.
Mm-hmm. Anybody whet your appetite here?
For a bet?
Bon Jovi's interesting. Because the tie-in there would be they could show him on the screen and Al Michaels goes, he once bid for the Buffalo Bills back in 2014. They sold him, just kind of go through the spiel. But he'd be in the box with Kraft, I'm imagining.
Yes, yes. I think what you're looking for is who's in Robert Kraft's luxury suite with him.
Right. By accident, almost gets shown. Like, hey, here's owner Robert Kraft. And, oh, there's Mark Wahlberg sitting next to him.
Right.
Or there's Mindy from The Office and The Mindy Project sitting next to Robert Kraft. John Bon Jovi. That wouldn't be like a long shot, though. That's not quite on the same level, I think, as Harrison Ford or Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Like, I could see him at the game.
It's a Thursday. Might be tougher to get somebody there on
what,
a Thursday.
What is Bon Jovi doing on a Thursday? He can't get to Boston on a Thursday? What's he doing during the week?
Isn't he a Giants fan, though? Because he's from New York.
This is listed as saying he's a Patriots fan.
He has. I think he performed the anthem once at a Giants game. And he's from New Jersey, isn't he?
Yes, he's from New Jersey. But it says he's a Patriots super fan in this
article.
Super fan.
All right.
I mean, he's friends with the owner. You know, if your friend owns a football team.
You don't have to be a fan of that team, no. No.
But you're more likely to.
If you owned the Broncos, you tell me all of a sudden I'd have to root for the Broncos?
Well, you picked the worst team on earth to pick, like, and root for right now. If I owned the do I want for this? The
Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers, sure.
I mean, I might root for you to have success and root for them to have success for you.
Uh-huh.
But
you would never get to calling yourself a fan.
I mean, I guess it's going to depend on how nice you are to me. Are you giving me a lot of tickets? I mean, are you flying me into town? Am I meeting the players?
I mean, if you're Bon Jovi in this situation, you're in the owner's box.
You get lots of access.
You get lots of access. You get to go to the owner's box, some free merch whenever you want it.
Merch.
Meet the players.
You give me a free t-shirt, I'll support you.
All right. I'll keep that in mind for when I buy a $1 billion NFL football franchise.
Yeah, I feel like if it's a league where I don't have an allegiance, you know, you buy a dart league team. All right, that's my favorite dart league team now.
That is something that would be awesome, by the way. Yeah. Those dart tournaments are crazy.
You get a pickleball team. All right.
Okay.
That's my favorite team.
Okay.
But if you were to just buy
a soccer team,
the Islanders, I'm not getting there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Chris Price, Boston Globe, on the other side. We'll talk about the Patriots, the matchup for the Bills tomorrow night. It's a big one. First of three straight division games. The Bills and the Patriots have three big ones in a row. And, of course, the third one for both teams is one another. 803-0550, if you'd like to join us on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.